Welcome, everybody, once again to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. That has to do with sales lead management and sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the founder and executive director of the SLMA, the one and only Jim Overmeyer. Hey, Jim.
Thank you, Paul Roberts. Paul Roberts is our producer for all things in the Funnel Radio channel. Today, our program is the five things Gene Hopkins has learned in business and life. Now, Gene Hopkins is the executive vice president and chief marketing officer at Ipswich. She joined Ipswich in 2016 and leads the company's worldwide marketing organization. She focuses on building a metrics-based powerhouse to fuel demand. Prior to Ipswich, Gene held executive marketing roles at HubSpot, SmartBear, Marketing Sherpa, Continuum Managed Services, and MechLabs. She's been an accomplished writer, advisor, speaker, co-authored Go Mobile, a top-selling mobile marketing book on Amazon.com. She's on several advisory boards, including the Sales Lead Management Association. She has won several industry awards for achievements in marketing as a leader and was recently named as CRN's 2016 Power 100. She's on the board of the Sales Lead Management Association, and she's been named numerous years as one of the 50 most influential people in sales lead management and the 40 most inspiring leaders. Gene, welcome.
Oh, thanks so much, Jim. Glad to be here, as always.
Well, I'm really interested to hear today because you've had such a, I don't know how to put it, but your whole career.
Varied career.
But your whole career seems to be very accountability focused. I mean, you've been on the forefront of this whole marketing trend that says this is all accountable. And so I'm interested in hearing today some of the influences in your life and the five things that you've learned. So I'm just going to sit back and listen today, please.
Oh, no.
Tell us.
Well, I hope it's a little more of a conversation, Jim. But I guess I have to say, you know, I really started thinking about this quite a bit. And you're absolutely right that we all have to be accountable for the things that we do. A lot of times it would be so much better as individuals or in our work life if we accepted responsibility for those things that we do, right? Either good or bad, right? And I think that it was interesting. I was in an executive team meeting today talking about pipeline and talking to somebody else and saying that this individual is so busy deflecting blame and not just owning it and moving on, that it appears that he is not willing to accept that we can be wrong, okay? You can make a decision. It can be wrong, or it can be right. But if you own it, people will start to look at you as being responsible for your actions. And I remember a time when I was at HubSpot, and it was at the end of one fiscal year going into another fiscal year, and I had spending money on paid media, and the overlap invoices came in after they had closed the year out. So my January was completely overspent, and because I couldn't go back and revisit the previous year. So the January was overspent due to previous quarter spend, and I was also spending in Q1, and I was over budget, and I was just like, oh my goodness gracious. And I did it all. I did a whole spreadsheet. I sent a note to my boss, who's Mike Volpe, who I really like and respect a great deal, and copied the CFO and said, this is my fault, right? This is my fault that we're over budget, and let me explain to you how we're going to take care of this, and this is how we should have accrued in the previous year for these expenses. I did not get the invoices in time, and it was my responsibility. And knowing that I knew what had happened, I mean, granted, things were moving so quickly, and to have that kind of visibility, and in order to kind of fall on the sword, not necessarily in a bad way, but to be able to say, I own this, makes a huge difference in anyone's career, just that level of accountability. I think the more important thing when I was really starting to think about it is I remember being younger and around 15 or 16 years old, I was working, I got a job in Kentucky Fried Chicken of all places. I think I was 15. and I had to ride my bike there, and it was during the summer month, and working in Kentucky Fried Chicken in the store during the summer months, I wasn't allowed to serve, but I could work in the back in the kitchen. You had to get a special work permit in order to do that during the summer. And I remember one day I really wanted to go to the beach with my friends. My dad said, you can't just take days off when you feel like it. You're leaving other people in the lurch when you do something like that. And that's really kind of stuck with me and over the years, because I know that in our current environment, I like to know, I want people to take their time off, but let's plan it. Let's just make sure that there's not 17 people in the department all gone at the same exact time. Make sure that we have coverage across the board, making sure that we're collaborating across the board. So I guess there's the accountability, there's a collaboration in terms of acting as a team to make sure that each person is standing up for the things that they need to do, the things that they need to get done. But making sure that that 1 + 1 = 3. I'm a better manager because I know I have such a solid number two with Bene, who we work hand in glove together, that the things that I can't get done, she's able to cover for me. And I feel as though that kind of relationship in a work environment becomes very important. And that kind of dependability. One of the third thing I might talk about is the ability to kind of take the long view. I think a lot of people, particularly when they're in their 20s, I try to mentor a lot of younger people, women, some men, but women, trying to get them to realize, okay, this is your second or third job. You've been in each job for maybe 18 months to 24 months, but it's really hard because you're not really stringing them together. And the one thing that's going to string all of these career opportunities together are the people that you work with. Being able to take the long view. It's interesting because I had somebody posted on my LinkedIn profile or actually tagged me and said he learned a lesson from me from a sales thing that he had done. He was with a previous company. It was like a funnel management software company. And he got the appointment for some of my team members to kind of take a look at it, proof of concept, to be able to look at it as an overlay with Salesforce and be able to look at it to say, you know, how's the funnel working? I mean, are we generating enough leads? Is it turning into revenue? That sort of thing. I was on the call and I forwarded it to a couple of other peers in my organization. The call went really badly. He wasn't prepared. He didn't know who was on the call, kind of shook up about it. If it was a proof of concept and you're looking for me to spend a sizable amount of money in the budget, I would expect somebody to be prepared. So he wrote this thing on LinkedIn about how he learned from that, because after the call, I sent him a quick little email and said, hey, if you'd like some feedback about how this could have gone better, I'll be glad to spend, you know, 10 minutes talking to you about it. He called me right away and we talked about it. And I said, it's your responsibility. You know, an outlook when meetings are being forwarded. If you knew that there were going to be more people possibly on this call, maybe you should have sent me a note, or maybe you should have gotten a little bit more background information rather than going into it cold. Because how it came across was you weren't prepared. You weren't prepared to have this discussion. You weren't prepared at all. And he said that in this LinkedIn post that he did, he said it really stuck with him, because you never know who's going to be on the call. And when you're making things like enterprise level sales, how important it is to understand the context and also the people that you're working with. I guess I would say the collaboration, the ability to take the long view. And I think something that really is important is, it's kind of funny because my husband said this the other day. He said, it really annoys me when I send a direct request. You've asked me to do something. I'm responding to you and I have to chase you to get an answer. It's this concept of being quick. I mean, think about how fast our world is moving nowadays. We text, I was texting Bene on the drive home to be able to get to this call with you, Jim. I was looking at my email. I wasn't driving. My husband was driving, but using Skype, using other forms of communication just to stay on top of things. And yet, when people don't respond in a timely fashion, I try to make a point of it as an individual to clear my inbox by the end of the day. And if I can't get back to somebody in a timely fashion, I mean, Jim, you and I have known each other for a number of years. And if I don't respond to you quickly, then you know I either haven't gotten the message or I'm out of the country or something.
Yeah, right? That's right.
I really try to make sure, because we're all kind of dealing in a real-time situation. And it is annoying when you ask an explicit question and you're not getting an explicit response. The world that we live in now really requires you to be quick. I mean, quality of work is sometimes not as important, the quality, as getting it done or the amount of work you produce. So, for example, I'm in a meeting and I need to know the percentage of MQLs that are evals. Somebody is asking me this question. I don't have it at my fingertips, so I'm asking a team member. And when I can't get an answer, and I'm training my team. My team is much better than when I joined the company a year ago, because I tell them I'm going into this meeting, and if you could just continue to do what you're doing but keep your business Skype open so that I can ask a question in case I need to. And people are able to give me the necessary data when I need it. I try to have all the reports, but this concept of being quick becomes very, very important in today's world. And I guess the last thing, if I only have five, Jim, it would be to embrace technology. The world is changing at an incredibly fast pace. And I am fairly appalled at even fairly young people. I mean, I'm talking people in their 20s that don't even have a decent LinkedIn presence. If high school students knew that college admissions leaders look at LinkedIn to see if high school seniors, if they have a profile, who they've connected with, do they have a recommendation, and use it during college, because most kids in their 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, you know, what are they thinking about? They're, you know, Snapchatting, Facebook, Instagram, variety of different tools that they're using, and probably a ton that I know nothing about. But when it comes time to get a job or an internship, to have a presence with recommendations, with things on your LinkedIn profile, becomes pretty important. I think that we as business people, I can't remember where I read this recently. It might have been the New York Times, but how important social media is to you as part of your network. So getting back to talking about taking the long view, you never know who you're going to be working with again. And so never burning any bridges, but the concept of embracing technology to be able to show other people how valuable you think they are. Like when you post something, Jim, on Twitter, I'll retweet it, or on LinkedIn and I'll share it. Those kinds of things are very important to building your network, not just on a one by one basis, but being able to share the content and the value that we all take a look at. So I guess those would be the five things that I would probably think about, and possibly they're boring, but it's kind of how I try to run my team, and how I try to provide feedback to individuals.
Well, I remember the first time I called you. I can still remember that. It was 6 o'clock in the evening in a fall, and it was starting. I was in California. And the sun was going down, so it was close to the middle of winter. And I called you to leave a message, and I hadn't talked to you before. I was introducing myself, and you picked up the phone at 9 o'clock at night in Boston. And I looked at I actually pulled the phone back and looked at it, and I said, "Well, I better be prepared to give more than a 30-second elevator pitch, because she's on the phone." That was interesting. What about some of the mentors in your life? Can you recall anyone that stands out that gave you advice and helped you along the way?
Well, I have to say that I have been extremely blessed during my entire career. I've worked in a variety of different companies, and I've learned something from every single one of them and individual people. I remember working at Lego. I worked for a very nice guy named Ed, and I remember one of my performance evaluations. This is not like a nice thing, but it's something that I learned. he gave me, he was giving my performance evaluation, and he said to me, "Gene, you're too quick." I looked at him because apparently that was a bad thing. Now, mind you, Lego is not exactly, it moved like a glacier. They knew the business plans were updated quarterly. They knew what new unique pieces that they were going to put out 6 months, 9 months, you know, 14, whatever, all the way down the road for years. He said, you go into a meeting and you've read the proposal or whatever, and you're done before anybody has even else opened the book. And I thought to myself, I wouldn't have thought that that was a bad thing, but it didn't allow other people to kind of catch up. And I think that that was feedback that was very good, because not everybody can read, assimilate, and make decisions, you know, in that blink moment. And you have to realize that you have to bring everybody along with you and ask if there's questions or be able to provide feedback. But I've worked for a lot of people. Mike Volpe is one of my favorite people. He does a good job of always saying, "Is there anything I can do for you?" He doesn't mean that in a servant type of a way, but he's always looking to help other people, to make connections, to be able to just be kind of solid as a rock. He's one of my favorite people. I have worked over the years with people that had taught me things. Maybe it's been a negative thing, like they taught me how not to do something. And the team that I'm working with right now at Ipswich, I really enjoy the camaraderie that we have right now. And we have an interim CEO, Kevin Bisson, that I really like and respect, and I like him because he's so practical, and yet he's able to give me feedback in a way that is helpful and not merely critical. Sometimes when people give feedback, I've had a lot of feedback over the years that is nothing more than criticism. It's not helpful. I mean, you know, people talk about constructive criticism.
Yeah.
That's not helpful. There's no such thing as that. It's where if you're providing some sort of, "Here's a way that we might be able to do it," or "Here's something that you might want to think about." I think everybody wants feedback, but to tell someone, you know, I can think about a company that I worked at fairly recently, and this individual was on the press release that went over Business Wire. There was a line under the comma in the fourth paragraph, having a conniption fit over that. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're sweating that kind of detail, there is no way in heck that anyone is ever going to meet your requirements. I mean, it just like totally off the charts. It's how many things do you want to get done? And if you want things to be done absolutely perfectly, you're not going to get very many things done. So I think we learn from different managers, and I think that we learn with different people, but I find that I learn the most from mentoring other people. I learn from people that are wondering what should they be doing next. And I think that so many people that like to be mentored or work with, we all have a level of insecurity. Where are we in our place in our career? Where are we in our place in our life? Where are we going? Did I make the right decisions? Will I make the right decisions? And those are big issues to kind of wrestle with. And,
yeah.
And I think all you can ask is, you know, are you a decent human being? Do you give back? And I think those are the tough issues I think that we're faced with. So I don't think I answered your question, Jim, but it's something that sometimes I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I think about.
I think you did answer the question in a much deeper fashion than just giving off a bunch of names, so to speak, people that have helped you. You've given it some thought. So your five today was this really it was kind of like a pinball machine. The collaboration, the accountability, the long view. Each, I kept drawing lines, enhancing, or I should say embracing technology, and certainly being quick, which is
right.
Really required today. And then lastly, you gave us that little bonus, how important social media is as part of our own individual network and what that's meant for you. Gene, you've been very generous with your time today. How does someone reach you if they'd like to talk to you about this?
You can contact me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn has my email address at work, jhopkins@ipswich, ipswitch.com.
And you're also a co-host on the Picnic Weekly Radio Program.
I try. I sort of, I'm just not as good as Kevin. That's all I can say.
Well,
he's so much better at it.
You got a good team there, and we always have
Greg
some
good.
Thank you very much for your time today, Jean Hopkins, on the five
Thanks, Jim.
That she's learned in business and life.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. One of the many shows on the ever-growing Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.